皆さんこんばんは、火曜日夕方6時はラジオカフェシンクタンクジャーナルの時間です。パーソナリティ中野保です。世界の中の京都を見つめ、語る番組です。世界は広くて、京都は深い、そんな京都のビジョンをですね、京都のリスナーのラジオカフェの皆さんのみならずインターネットラジオを通じて聞いていただきたいと思います。本日のゲストは、アメリカのキャンサスシティから来られましたジャーナリストの、ジョシュア・マクエロイさんです。英語でいきます。 Welcome to Radio Cafe and welcome to Kyoto.
Thank you very much.
So when did you come to Kyoto?
I came to Kyoto 4 days ago.
4 days ago.
Yes.
So you are a journalist and your organization is National Catholic Reporters, the newspaper, isn't it?
Yes,
it's all over the United States.
It's a newspaper in the United States, yes.
Could you please expand about your organization and the newspaper?
Yes. The National Catholic Reporter is an independent newspaper in the United States. It's the only newspaper in the United States that covers Catholic issues, Christian issues,that is independent of the Catholic Church. So in the Catholic Church, there are bishops who are in charge of certain areas of the country. And our paper is independent of the bishops, so we can cover and report on news in the Catholic Church as we please, as it merits coverage.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So your newspaper company located in Kansas City. Where about Kansas City in the United States?
Kansas City is in what we call the Midwest of the
Midwest
United States.
Midwest of the United States.
Kind of in the, if you look at a picture of the map, it's basically in the center of the country.
I heard you studied Washington, D.C.
Yes.
When did you study at Catholic University?
I graduated from the Catholic University. It's called the Catholic University of America. It's in Washington, D.C., right near the Capitol building, if you've seen the pictures.
Oh, really?
Yes, I know.
I live in the DuPont Circle.
Oh, yes.
For 5 years.
Yes.
I was a Brookings researcher and George Washington and teaching at the American University.
Yes.
Probably I met you in Washington, D.C.
Maybe. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Yes, perhaps.
Okay. What is the objective of your mission to come to Japan this time?
Our newspaper is based in the United States, but it's, our subscribers are around the world. So we're very interested in the Catholic Church in the world, and we're also very interested in the Catholic Church in Asia. We know that in parts of Asia, the Catholic Church is kind of burgeoning. It's becoming, the Catholic Church in the United States maybe is not as strong as it once was. And in Asia, there's a lot of Catholic faith or Christian faith that's new. So we're very interested in learning about Catholic faith in Asia and in Japan. So I started in Tokyo, where I met with people who work in the Catholic Church in Tokyo, who are working on immigration issues in Japan, and who are also working on different issues. And I'm heading to Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, really? 66th anniversary.
Yes, yes.
End of this week.
For the anniversaries at the end of this week.
I see.
Yes, our paper in the United States covers a lot of issues about nuclear weapons.
Interesting.
There's a lot of debate in the United States about what to do with our nuclear weapons.
Okay, today's topic will be from Hiroshima to Fukushima, isn't it? So maybe first part, you know, maybe I'd like to ask you the Hiroshima issue.
Yes.
So I said last year, 2 years ago, President Obama received a Nobel Peace Prize concerning the disarmament or you know, banning of nuclear weapons. So how, what kind of image do you have concerning Hiroshima for American people?
Unfortunately, a lot of American people, I think, don't really have a good understanding of the suffering that was felt or experienced by people at both Hiroshima and Nagasaki after, during and after the atomic bombings by our country. Many of the pictures that we have seen in the United States of the bombings are very removed. We see pictures of the mushroom cloud, but we don't see pictures of the people who were suffering. So it's very important for people in the United States to understand the sufferings. And the debate in the United States that is going on, we still have many nuclear weapons in our country.
Many nuclear weapons.
Yes. And our President Obama, just last March, dedicated $80 billion U.S. dollars to what we call modernization of our nuclear weapons program.
Modernization of nuclear weapon program, including nuclear safety use, including Fukushima's nuclear power stations.
No, money, that $80 billion is strictly for nuclear weapons, not for nuclear power plants.
Nuclear weapons, banning for nuclear. To stop, to encourage,
what the president calls it is modernization.
Modernization. So, through President Obama is planning to increase the number of nuclear weapons.
Well, what the president says is not that he's increasing the number, but that we have
quality.
I don't understand.
Quality, not quantity.
Oh,
quality.
Yes. Uh-huh. What he says is we have this, we call it a stockpile of nuclear weapons. It depends on what numbers you use. But it's,
it used to be 50,000 nuclear weapons.
Yes, it's not that much anymore. Over the world.
Nowadays, maybe the number of nuclear weapons.
It depends. There's a difference between what they call active and inactive nuclear warheads.
I see.
It's estimated that the inactive nuclear warheads, so the warheads that aren't ready to launch right away, are about 20,000.
20,000.
Yes. So that's the total number of nuclear warheads in the world. But that we don't really know. That's a guess. That's a good guess, but it's a guess.
So anyway, the U.S. has a large number of nuclear weapons compared to the rest of the world.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. So the debate is President Obama approved $80 billion to, he calls it modernization of the weapons, so that they say that we need to repair the weapons that we currently have.
Uh-huh.
But there's not currently a plan, a very clear plan about how the United States would reduce its number of nuclear weapons or when that might happen.
Uh-huh.
So we just signed a new treaty with Russia. The START, we call it New START, the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty
that sets
certain standards for how many nuclear weapons each country can have. But it doesn't. It's not massive reduction.
Increasing nuclear weapon or reducing nuclear weapon, which is difficult.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe reduction is more difficult than increasing number of nuclear weapons.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes. There are many steps to how to disarm a weapon, and once you disarm the weapon, what to do with the radioactive material. So I think it's very similar to near the Fukushima plant, how they have all this radioactive material, and they're not quite sure what to do.
It's terrible.
With it. Yes.
Last year is August 6th, your ambassador Ruth came to Hiroshima.
Yes.
So for the first time for U.S. ambassador to visit Hiroshima.
Yes.
This time also ambassador of the United States is planning to visit Hiroshima?
What I've heard is there's a State Department official planning to be at the Nagasaki ceremony.
Nagasaki ceremony.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if that's the case, but that's what I've heard. So
last year was quite big. U.S. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon also came to Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yes.
So it's the first time for you to visit Hiroshima, and exciting for you to visit Hiroshima this time?
Well, it's difficult. I don't know if I'd say I'm excited. I'm looking forward to meeting with survivors of the atomic blasts and hearing their stories and what happened and the sufferings they faced and their family have faced. I'm looking forward to seeing it, to seeing the destruction, to seeing the museum, to seeing what people have faced. And I'm hoping to be able to bring a sense of that back to the United States so that people can try and get an understanding of what it really meant.
In the U.S., Protestant and Catholic are quite powerful. In
The Christian churches?
So your newspaper, the company, is a National Catholic Reporter. So,
yes.
So so your view is particularly is from a Catholic view to Hiroshima.
Yes.
So compared to general, ordinary people of the United States, people, and also Catholic, believing people, it's a lot different. Or more Catholic people, or more strong feeling to Hiroshima.
In
Catholic, people in Catholic has a more strong feeling toward Hiroshima's issue than ordinary, American people.
Well, there are many people in America who identify themselves as Christian.
Yeah.
It's a very high percent.
Maybe more than 70% of them are Christian.
I don't know offhand, but it's a very high percentage.
Uh-huh.
And in the when you say you are a Christian, there are many things that could mean, many different traditions within the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
So Catholic is one of them. And Catholic people are really taught, at least in the United States, to identify with those who are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And to see those who are suffering and identify suffering as the suffering of Christ,
mm-hmm.
of Jesus Christ, who mm-hmm. We believe is, you know, part of a, is God, part of a three-part God. So when we expose ourselves to the suffering of, for example, of people at Hiroshima, we are to imagine that is Christ suffering. And,
yeah, like a passion, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Passion of Christ, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So it pulls at our heart to see that, and the hope is that would cause us to think about how we do things and to think about our way of life.
Since you have a Catholic views, and do you think President Obama should visit Hiroshima to apologize or to it's important for President Obama to visit Hiroshima?
That's a very difficult question.
Yeah.
I think it's very difficult. You know, many people wish the president would come to many different things.
Yeah.
I think there's a symbolism of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that is very important.
Yeah.
And especially as the president received the Nobel Peace Prize for his speaking on the disarmament of nuclear weapons, I think it could be very powerful if you were to come. But I don't know if
true.
That's possible.
I hope President Obama had a chance to opportunity to visit Hiroshima. And also, Japanese Prime Minister should go to Pearl Harbor, you know, Honolulu at the same time.
Mm.
So it's a kind of even, you know.
Yes.
When we apologize, you know, the Pearl Harbor issue and also United States,
yes.
I should apologize.
Yes, uh-huh. We both have suffering.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So you are planning to write any article concerning Hiroshima?
Yes, I'll be reporting on it for my newspaper, and it'll appear in our newspaper, and we have a website where we post our stories online as well.
Mm-hmm. So. As you know, the 3/11, but... 4 or 5 months ago, we have a big earthquake and tsunami and Fukushima nuclear power plant, you know, accident. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, this year's, you know, Hiroshima's anniversary is something special, as we had, you know, Fukushima's nuclear.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you think about Fukushima's issue related to nuclear accident?
Part of the reason why I was interested in coming to Hiroshima this year is because this will be the first commemoration, the first August 6th, that is after
the
great earthquake
and
the nuclear disaster near Fukushima. Uh-huh. So I'll be asking people who are at the commemoration what special significance they think this has.
Uh-huh.
And I'm particularly interested in asking... the survivors of the atomic blast in Hiroshima, what they think the significance of this commemoration is.
Yeah, that's right. Now, we have been suffering a lot about radioactive radiation in Fukushima, and including beef and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, 66 years ago, U.S. bombed to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and still, you know, like survivors and the people in Japan have been suffering a lot with radioactives.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
And at the same time, we have a lot of hot springs, you know, hot spring and it's radon, the radiation and so on.
Yes.
Do you think in the historically, sometimes Japanese people think, you know, radioactive is good for health? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Actually, you know, I like to beat hot spring, including radioactive.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference between the nature radioactive and you know, man-made radioactive.
Ah, I see.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what I would say is in journalism schools in the United States, the thing that we're taught the most is the purpose of journalism to shine a light in the darkness or to give voice to those who are not listened to.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the best thing journalists can do or that we can do as people is listen to those who have experienced the suffering, both at Hiroshima and Fukushima.
Yeah, good idea.
And listen to them and ask what they feel and what they want.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a... I'm very curious to know how Japanese feel about those who have been affected from March 11th and what they have been asked and how they've been listened to and how their voice is getting into the national conversation on what should be done about nuclear energy. That interests me most is talking to the people who have experienced it and what they say.
Yeah, it's excellent, you know. This radio cafe, think tank journal, we have been you know, live, you know, broadcasting now. So we can express our views, and since we don't have any sponsor and so on, it's a free community radio.
Yes.
So next half, and also I'd like to ask your, you know, journalist view toward, from Hiroshima to Fukushima. So as a break, as usual, please listen to the Hawaiian music, No Shua Serenade. ラジオカフェ、シンクタンクジャーナルパーソナリティ中野保です。この番組は株式会社トライオン、財団法人異文化コミュニケーション財団のご協力でお送りしております。Today's guest is Joshua McElwee, and he is working as a staff writer at the National Catholic Reporters. It's a U.S. worldwide, you know, U.S.
Yes.
wide Catholic newspaper.
Yes.
So the first half we talk about Hiroshima mainly. So second half, maybe we have only 10 minutes.
Yes.
And let's talk about Fukushima issue, 3/11. And according to New York Times, and immediately after 3/11, New York Times said that already Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant meltdown.
Yes.
And but the majority of Japanese newspaper, including government, denied. The meltdown.
Yes.
So there is a big gap between the U.S. newspaper and Japanese newspaper.
Yes.
How do you believe in Japanese newspaper's report?
Well, it's very difficult. I think the U.S. newspaper doesn't have the same obligation that the Japanese newspaper does to not cause panic.
Obligation.
Yes. I mean, it's something that journalists talk about sometimes is when there's a big crisis, how... I mean, the journalist's job is to always report the truth and to report what is happening. Uh-huh. But there's also an obligation to do so in a smart way that doesn't, you know, cause panic. So, uh-huh. for example, I know that you know, in the United States after the attacks of September the 11th, there was many discussions among journalists on how to report what was going on in a way that wouldn't, you know, cause panic or cause people to get very scared or what have you. So I'm sure that there were many discussions going on in Japanese newsrooms on how to report the crisis. And it's also very difficult sometimes when there's a big event like this. You don't have all the facts. You don't know what's going on.
You're
trying to get through it, and sometimes you've got, you know, 6 out of 10 of the facts, and you're trying to put it together.
Yeah.
And the best you can do is say, this is what we've got.
Yeah.
And and sometimes all you can say is, these are the questions that we have.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's very difficult. Journalists, both in newspapers and blogs.
Yeah,
and,
just you know, when I was attending the conference at the National Press Club in Washington D.C., and probably a Fox or CNN reporter said, and media's obligation to, of course, to send the truth.
Yes.
And also, media sometimes send a message, a rumor.
Yes.
And not true.
Yes.
So media has usually truth and the rumor and not truth.
Yes.
So probably Japanese newspaper, the, maybe journalists, at the beginning of 3/11, they are, you know, the broadcasting or sending the truth.
Yes.
But later on, maybe 1 month later.
Yes.
And it was not true. Yeah.
You know, I can't speak to the specifics of what the Japanese newspapers reported. You know, it's just it's very difficult to discern sometimes what is true and what is not.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why reporters have editors and publishers, and there's many steps to go before a story is put on the page.
But I have been teaching the journalism at the university. So my view is I don't know Japanese, you know, like journalists. But I met some American journalists like Thomas Friedman, New York Times, and so on.
Yes.
Their quality is very high because they usually go to the place where, you know, something happening.
Yes, yes.
On the spot.
Yes.
They report. And
yes.
With the signatures, you know, they can write many columns and, you know, so on, editorials.
Yes.
But on the other hand, unfortunately, Japanese newspaper is circulation is very high, sometimes 10 million, so on. But usually their staff is working as a part of organization.
Yes.
So this is a problem of Japanese newspaper company.
Yes. There's definitely a preference in the United States. We call it getting a dateline, which is identifies where the reporter is when he wrote the story. So, for example, when there's a crisis in Ohio, you want a reporter in Ohio who is experiencing what is going on and can report firsthand.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really what you always want. So that's why, you know, CNN sends reporters into Egypt when the Arab Spring started to occur.
Okay. Nowadays, social media, including Facebook, Twitter, are very popular.
Yes.
Are you familiar with social media?
Yes,
and,
of course. Yes.
Facebook.
Yes.
So, is a Middle East issue like Egypt or Libya or Tunisia crisis, and probably people, young generation, use Twitter or Facebook.
Yes. Yes.
They're powerful, isn't it? Social media is more powerful than the ordinary media.
I don't
know
if I'd say it's more powerful, but for example, Twitter is a very powerful tool. We saw it in the recent Arab Spring uprisings that are still going on, but you can people were empowered by the fact that they could, you know, on their cell phone, on their mobile device, they could tell what was going on, and people around the world could follow along.
Yeah,
and that really empowered people.
Yeah, at least we Japanese must send a message in English.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you are familiar with using only Japanese.
Particularly,
Fukushima issue problem is if we Japanese use English very well, we can express our views to the world in English.
Yes.
So our weakness is we are not familiar with using English well.
Well, I think it's... There's problems of translation always, but there's also the beauty of Twitter is that it's a huge user base. A lot of people use it.
Yeah.
So if there's something being tweeted in Japanese that's very important, yeah, it's very likely there's another person maybe in Britain or in the United yeah States or in Australia yeah who knows Japanese and yeah will retweet it in, yeah, in English.
You retweet in English.
So
I see.
It's
so
very possible.
Oh, it's possible.
Yes.
So it's right. It's true. Yes. But also, I like to use a global English, Globish, which use only simple words.
Oh, yes.
I'm
yes
using a very difficult
yes
word. And
yes
I heard of President Obama
yes
when he made a presentation in outside the United States.
Yes.
He tried to use English as simple as possible.
Oh, yes, yes.
And without using an interpreter, and
yes
Chinese people can understand. This is a new wave, new trend of
yes
English to, you know, express
yes
very simple one.
Yes.
And therefore, I like to speak sometimes in English like this.
Mm, yes.
And my English is very simple one and very, I think it's okay, isn't it?
Yes.
Not necessary to speak a very, you know, difficult or big word in English.
No, the key is to get your thought across, and the best, however you can do that, is yeah the best way to do it.
Yeah, hopefully, and outside people in outside Japan can listen to this broadcasting. Mm-hmm. We have been broadcasting live, and
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, please introduce, you know, this Radio Cafe, you know, to the people in the United States, Kansas City.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
It's radio is quite powerful in the U.S.
Yes, there are many radio stations. There are many. I hear that this is the first community radio station in
Japan.
In
yeah
Japan.
In the NPOs,
yes,
you know, non-profit organization, the first community radios.
Community radio stations in the United States are very common,
uh-huh,
and they're very popular because many cities have them,
uh-huh,
and they can have many programs on different types uh-huh of interests, which normal radio stations don't have.
Uh-huh.
So it's very fun, and it's very important.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There's a whole series of news programs in the United States that are only
oh
aired on community-based radio stations.
Yeah, so that's right. Anyway, we have only about 100 minutes. And, you know, a couple of hours ago, and the House of Representatives in the Capitol Hill passed
yes
the compromise of
yes
of a financial crisis, you
yes
know, like a default.
Yes.
How do you think about Obama's, you know, approach toward the economic...
Well, it's very difficult. Our Congress is very divided between Democrats and Republicans. And for the past few years in the United States, there's been a real movement to stop any and all tax increases.
Yeah.
So our country has a several trillion-dollar debt, but the Republican and other parties in
yeah
Congress are saying they cannot have any tax increases.
Yeah. Anyway, Japan had a nuclear meltdown, but United
yes
States had a financial meltdown. We have a U.S.-Japan security treaty, so we must work together.
Yes, working together is the way
yeah
to go.
Yeah. It's interesting to exchange views between U.S. and Japan.
Yes,
this
very interesting, yes.
Yeah.
We have much to share with each other. Much,
yeah.
Our cultures must share with each other.
Yeah, and Kyoto has a very rich culture.
Yes.
And we have been broadcasting in the center of Kyoto
yes
to the world.
Yes.
So hopefully you can visit Kyoto again, and please come to Radio Cafe.
Thank
again
you very much.
Yeah, we have only 20 seconds,
oh
please.
Well, it's been very, very, very nice talking with you. I'm glad to be in Kyoto, and I'm very glad to meet people and learn the history of Kyoto and Japan. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, anyway, thank you very much for coming to Radio Cafe. And today's guest is Joshua McElroy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.